Glory, glory. Hallelujah. Well, let's get seated on the glory side this morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I got this feeling that this is the bunch that prays on Wednesdays. Is this right? Is this the prayer bunch that's usually here at noon on Wednesdays? Yeah, come on. You know what you come to do. Praise the Lord. Yeah. You brought a supply today. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, ha, ha. We're on the victory side. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, isn't he good? Ooh, so good. So good. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, we're coming up. That's what the Holy Ghost said to us. Amen. He said, come up. Come up. Everything's easier if you come up. Everything's easier if you come up. Glory to God. I tell you, if you start your day that way, you're up. Amen. You start your day that way, you're already up. You're already up. Stay there. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I think we can take this another step further this morning. Praise the Lord. And just remind ourselves, admonish ourselves, and hook up with what he's been saying about coming up, getting better at being a spirit. We're Life in the Spirit Conference. I want to do life with him. Amen. Religion says that he does life to you. Religion says that God does life to you. But he doesn't do life to you. He does life with you. Amen. We're co-laborers with him. Praise God. He's on in us. We're in him. Praise God. It's no longer God just pulling strings and telling you, you know, it's all to will and to do of his good purpose. He's in us. Glory to God always. And the more we acknowledge him in all our ways, he can direct our paths. Amen. One of the ways to to come up, make things easier, amen, is to, number one, get this phrase out of your vocabulary. I'm only human. Never react to a situation by saying, well, I'm only human. Because, child of God, you are not. That's right. Only human. That's right. Amen. We have access by grace, by the blood. Hallelujah. And Paul told the church at Corinth in the third chapter of 1 Corinthians, he said, you know, I'd really like to tell you deeper things. I'd like to show you deeper things. He says, but you're acting like mere men. As long as there's wars and fightings among you and there's envyings and strife and all that kind of stuff, he says, I can't give you the real thing. I can't give you more. I'd like to get all I've been able to give you is milk. Because you're acting like children. You're acting like mere men. When I read that, we're acting like mere men, I think, well, obviously we're not supposed to act like mere men. There's something more. Yeah. Glory to God. There's something bigger on the eternal part of you. Everybody say eternal part. Jesus, when the woman at the well, when he had the conversation with the woman at the well, one of my very favorite events in Scripture is this interaction with Jesus and the woman at the well, because they're talking about the absolute necessity of life, water. Water, the absolute necessity. Now, we have easy access to it now, so we don't think about the necessity of it as much. You know, we have to be reminded to drink more water. You know, everybody, drink more water, as if we forget we need it, right? But hello, we forget we need it. And so here's this woman who came to draw water in John's Gospel, the fourth chapter is the account. And she's got to do this every day. She can't skip a day. She's got to do it every day. Because we need it every day. Now, we have easy access to it, so we're not thinking about it. We've got the faucet, you know. We even buy it in plastic bottles. But it's still an absolute necessity of life. And so Jesus related to her on the very absolute base necessity of her life. And said, if you knew the gift of God and who it was that stands before you, you'd ask me for something. And I would give you an eternal and living water, a spring that never dries up, that never dries up. If you knew the gift of God, you'd come to me. You'd come up. Come on, you'd come up. You'd come to me, not just wait for it to happen. You would come. You would come. And so they get to talking about it, and finally you know the event, how it unfolds, and she realizes he's a prophet. And then her real question, the question of her heart and the question of every person's heart. She said, "Our fathers worshiped here. You Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place. Which one's right?" Because we've been fighting about this for a long time. People have been fighting about which way's right, who's right about this. And Jesus so lovingly said, "Neither one." Neither one of you are right, because times are changing. Something has changed and something is changing. Amen. And he said this, "God is spirit." It's not about this place or that place. It's not about how you do it and how I do it. God is spirit. He didn't even just say God is a spirit. He said God is spirit, and those that come to him. Her real question is really not about method. Her question is not about culture. Her question is about connection. How do I make a connection with God? She realizes he's a prophet, so she says, "You know, you seem to know God. Can I? How can I? How can I have what you have? How can I have what you have?" And he said, "Well, the time is coming." Aren't you glad it has come now? "And now is when true worshipers will worship him in spirit and in truth." In spirit and in truth. The eternal part of you is your spirit. The eternal part of us is spirit. That's what connects with God, not your temporal part. It gets involved, but it's not the connection point. Your body should be involved like we did this morning. Amen. Your whole spirit, soul, and body. Amen. Because we are connected at this point. It ought to affect your emotions. It ought to affect your body. It ought to affect all of you. David said, "All that is within me, bless his holy name." Amen. And now everybody's got different personalities and different ways of expressing things. Amen. But the connection point is the eternal part of us, our spirit. Because our spirit is made in the likeness and in the image of God, and it has absolute connection with him. Amen. Nothing hindering that connection. The only thing that can hinder that connection is if your mind takes over. But nothing is hindering the spiritual connection between you and God. But your mind can get in the way. Thoughts can get in the way. And this is what Brother Jim was helping us with so much, to devalue those things that were so high on the list before. Things that you gave so much attention to. Right? Because where your attention is, that's what you'll connect to. So we're learning how to connect from our spirit. Amen. To locate our spirit. Do you know the difference? Can you locate the difference between your head and your heart? Yes. Amen. You know, our one of our very favorite and famous scriptures around here is Mark's Gospel, the 11th chapter, where Jesus himself said, if you don't doubt in your heart, right, you'll have what you say if you don't doubt in your heart. Well, I've heard it said, you've said it, you've heard it said and said it yourself. Brother Hagin said it. Well, you can have doubt in your head and not doubt in your heart. He said it is possible to have doubt in your head and still not doubt in your heart. Well, I know it's possible, but at what expense? At what expense? Because some people go, "Well, the doubt's just in my head." It's still not okay. Doubt's not okay anywhere. Now, if you locate it and go, "Well, it's in my head and not in my heart," good start. Amen? But it's still not acceptable, because Jesus said, "Don't doubt." Don't doubt. There's songs today that are being sung that, you know, I'll praise you when I'm doubting. Well, get out of doubt first. Well, I'll praise him all the time too. Yeah, amen. But don't claim that. Right. Don't let yourself stay there, even when I'm doubting. For what reason would you doubt him? Give me one good reason. Give me one good reason that you can say, I doubt you. Give me one valid position where that would be okay. Well, I'm struggling with this, Lord. Well, get over it. He's God. He cannot lie. He cannot. It's not okay to doubt him. Amen. Especially in your heart. But if there's doubt in your head, at what expense? Because if you don't know the difference, you'll never really connect. Not truly. Because you'll let yourself doubt. Don't do it. I said, don't do it. Amen. That's for somebody today. Amen. So the real connection point, she's saying, how can I connect with God? Through your spirit. Through your spirit. So let's get better at being that person. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you know you can get better at it? You can get better. There's skill involved here. Because when we talk about focus and we talk about paying attention, there's a skill to that. Amen? I don't believe in spiritual ADD. I don't believe in it. Amen. It's a choice. It's a choice. Amen. And you can focus on him. Amen. Take every thought captive. He told us what to do. Well, I just can't do it. Yeah, you can. Take the thought captive. What are you thinking about? Your mind will think all kinds of things without your consent. Yeah. Amen. Amen. We think all kinds of things without our consent. You can be just minding your own business and your mind's telling a whole story that you didn't even try to make up yourself. But it's just got a whole thing going on there and you can go, wait, where did that start? Where did that start? So your mind can do all kinds of things. Make it do what you want it to do. That's why our imagination is so important, because you make believe. Not fake. Make believe isn't fake and fantasy when it comes to God and your imagination, because he gave us our imagination so that we could see unseen things. It's the ability to see unseen things, not necessarily unreal things, but unseen things. Because this realm that we've been invited into is the realm of the unseen. It's not the realm of the unknown. Right. Let me say it again. It's not the realm of the unknown. It is merely the realm of the unseen as yet. Mysteries. There are mysteries in the unseen realm. Amen? But whenever you see the word mystery in the New Testament, when we think of the word mystery, we think of something, you know, kind of woo-woo, dark, mysterious. You can't use the same word to describe a word. But anyway, a mystery is something hidden, right? Unknown. But the word mystery in the New Testament means this, that which awaits disclosure or interpretation. That which awaits disclosure or interpretation. So in other words, the mystery, Christ in you, was something that was awaiting disclosure or interpretation. God keeps some things hidden for a time, but it is awaiting its time of disclosure and interpretation. So when we pray in the Spirit, the Bible says we're praying mysteries. Things that are awaiting interpretation and awaiting disclosure. So he wants to, right? Eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered yet into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them, but they are revealed unto us by his Spirit in the inner man, the eternal part of us. Amen. Hallelujah. And so part of our coming up, getting this "I'm only human" out of our vocabulary. Because the way that humans approach God, religion, is, we consult him, normal humans. I'm not talking about you and I here in this place. Because we're not mere men here. Amen. But regular folk, even religious folk, pretty much approach God when the need arises. If there's a problem, well, we'll just have to pray. All that's left is prayer. And if we adopt that attitude, that prayer is our last resort, we're acting like humans. We're acting like humans. Because humans operate on I only have today. Live in the present. And they sound real spiritual. Just live in the present. Live in the present. Live in the present. I want to remind you today that Ecclesiastes says that he has planted eternity in our hearts. I said he has planted eternity in our hearts. We don't just have today. Amen. We have today, tomorrow, and all of eternity already in our spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Why don't you go with me to, I'll find a scripture you like here in a minute. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 12. Well, I'll start with verse 11. But you, O man of God, flee these things. He's talking about all this stuff going on in the world, and we don't need to even make light of any of that. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold. Everybody say, lay hold.
Lay hold,
lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on eternal life. I don't think he's just talking about the sweet by and by here. He's saying lay hold of it right now. Lay hold of the eternity on the inside of you. God is the God who inhabits eternity. Amen. I said he inhabits eternity. He's not just eternal. You and I are eternal. But he inhabits eternity, which means he is, was, and is to come all at the same time. He is Alpha and Omega all at the same time. Not he was Alpha and he'll be Omega. He is both at the same time. He's the author and the finisher of our faith all at the same time. Glory to God. He inhabits all of time and space all at one time. You inhabit a chair. The human part of you, your body can only be in one time, in one place. But when you come up, you are now in that realm where time is absolutely irrelevant. How how is it then that he, otherwise, how is it that he can answer before you call? How is it he can answer before you call? Or the plowman overtake the reaper? Or know the things you have need of before you ask him? But when you're in that place and you call, he's already gone before you, rearranged the things that happened along. I mean, talk about time travel. One of the ways you can come up, child of God, is to realize that eternity has been planted in your heart. Lay hold of eternal life. Get out before things instead of just reacting in a crisis, and I guess we have to pray. Jesus was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. Before God even made man, before he even made what we see on the earth, before he made man, before any of it, Jesus was already the sacrifice for sin, and no person had even existed yet. Amen. Talk about answering before you call. Amen. Amen. And he put eternity in our hearts. We've got to live eternity-minded. And I don't just mean live with the idea that one day we'll be in heaven and other things will be happening. I just mean that time is not your enemy. Time doesn't have to be your enemy. You don't have to be stuck, like, ever. I didn't prepare for this. Still okay. Still okay, because somebody has. If you don't fail to call on him and go up where he is and get in that realm where he is and where he can undo and do and redo and override and supersede and do all kinds of things, but only in that realm. Well, it's terminal. Maybe down here. Maybe down here it's terminal. But everything's easier if we come up. Yes. When's it too late? Jairus came to Jesus. The woman with the issue of blood interrupted. Now it's over. Yeah. That woman told him all the truth. She took a long time to tell her story. Right? Because, come on, women, you know we can tell long stories. Mark said she told him all the truth. Well, it started this day I went to the marketplace and telling her, Mark said she spent all her money, just kept getting worse. He told the man version. But she stopped, told Jesus, she got healed and then told him all the truth and all this is going on. And Jairus' daughter was at the point of death, and now his servants come and say, Master, it's too late. Don't bother him anymore. Don't bother him anymore. But when he first came to Jesus, didn't he say, if you'll just come and get your hands on her, if you can just get your hands on her, she'll be healed and she'll live. That's what he said at the beginning. So now all this other stuff has happened. Oh, well, I guess things have changed because this other event came and changed the intent, and now it's too late because now she's dead and Jesus is hearing this over here. Don't bother the master anymore. She's dead. And then what happened to the woman with the issue of blood? Tell me more. And they said, excuse me one second. Only believe. And then? What's his answer to it's too late? So dead's not too late? Well, I personally haven't seen anybody raised from the dead in my personal life. But come on, child of God, we got to come up. What degrees of impossibility have you set on things? Because impossible is just plain impossible. There are really no degrees of impossibility. If something's impossible, it's just impossible. Here. But in Him. What did Jesus say? Not with God. He said, with men it's impossible, but not with God. He said, yeah, with men it's impossible. So, yeah, okay. Don't get mad at men. Don't get mad at the doctor. Don't get mad at the person who gave you the bad report. Amen. And incidentally, don't trust them for the good one. Don't trust him for the don't trust them for the good one. People say, "Well, agree with me because I'm going to the doctor. Agree with me for a good report." I can't. I can't agree with you for a good report from the doctor because he might give you a bad one. The only one I can agree with you for a good report is the one God's already given. God's already given the good report. If you're gonna, if you'd like to agree with that one, I will agree with that one. But I'm not going to agree that the doctor will tell you when it's good.
Right, exactly.
Because he's got access to only the information he can see. He doesn't have the access to the same information you and I have access to. So don't get mad at him if he gives you a bad report. Because with men, things are impossible.
There you go.
Well, the doctor said this. The doctor said, I understand. I'm not upset with him. He just doesn't have the same information or revelation.
Right.
With men, it's impossible, but not with God. So come up. Come up. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on eternal life. Go with me to Philippians, the third chapter. Philippians chapter 3. This is familiar to you. Verse 12, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call. The upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He's inviting us upward. That's what he told me. Everything's easier if you'll come up. Everything's easier if you'll come up. Amen. Look at the Passion translation of this. He said, I admit that I haven't yet acquired the absolute fullness that I'm pursuing. Hey, we're there. But I run with passion into his abundance, so that I may reach the purpose that Jesus Christ has called me to fulfill and wants me to discover. What is a mystery? Things awaiting disclosure or interpretation. He's wanting us to discover some things. Amen. I don't depend on my own strength to accomplish this. However, I do have one compelling focus. Listen to what he says here in the Passion. I forget all of the past as I fasten my heart to the future instead. I fasten my heart to the future instead. Amen. Your brain, your human brain, is not wired to know the future. Your human brain is like a computer. It works off of experience and information that's been fed into it by experience or other information or trends or the way things have gone in the past. Your brain is wired to expect or speculate based on that information. It can speculate, but your heart and that imagination that God put on the inside of you can dream and see and hope. Amen. Can hope, can desire other things. But at the same time, we've been told most of our lives not to get our hopes up. Don't get your hopes up. Don't get your hopes up. It is one of the most evil seeds planted in people. It's an evil seed.
Yes.
To not get your hopes up. Because think about it, when you were a child and you wanted something or dreamed about something, you know, and I mean you could and then your parents maybe said, "Well, honey, don't get your hopes up." Well, why did they say that? Because maybe they couldn't provide it. Or maybe it wasn't a logical thing, or maybe, you know, it wasn't reasonable. And so they'd say, well, don't get your hopes up, instead of just telling you the truth about something. We can't do it, or we're not able to do it, so it's a no. They don't want to say no, they just say don't get your hopes up. Did it work? No. And so you kept wanting the thing or whatever it was that you desired, you know. And what would you do? Dream about it. Picture it, right? My best example of something that I'll never forget is I wanted a horse. And as a little kid, I wanted a horse. And my parents are like, well, don't get your hopes up. Aaron had a horse. So jealous Aaron had a horse. Her brother says it was his horse, but it was her horse. But we didn't live on a farm. We lived in the city. And so, you know, there's no reason to have a horse. And so my parents were like, well, where are we going to keep it? And I said, that's easy, in my room. Mr. Ed was a popular television show back then. And, you know, so it made total sense that the horse would be in my room. And a horse, of course. If ever there was a horse, of course. Wilbur. Anyway, so I wanted a horse, but I pictured it in my room. I could see it living in my room. I could see it. I had it in here somewhere. I already had it. So when I didn't get it, it's not just that I didn't receive something, it's more like something was taken away from me that I already had. And that's when you learn not to get your hopes up, because it doesn't feel good. It hurts. It's disappointing. And so over time, you have to school yourself. Oh, no, don't get excited, because it hurts when you don't get it. It's disappointing when you don't get it. So when you don't get it, now you start shielding and guarding your heart from good things.
All right, come on.
You guard your heart from good things, because I never get good things. We never had good things. I couldn't have good things. That's not the way we grew up. We grew up this way. And so you guard your heart from disappointment, because your heart longs for goodness. Your heart longs for abundance. It was made for abundance. It was made for God Himself.
Yes.
Yes. Amen. Yes. You can be modest. Absolutely be modesty is fine. God doesn't define rich. You do. You do. He never tells you how much is too much. Amen. But if you've guarded your heart from disappointment, Because either you've been told you don't qualify, you're not good enough, you'll never have enough, and all those things that you end up believing. And if you believe it, right? Because what happens, what does believe mean? To accept as truth. If you accept those lies as truth, that's believing. You're believing a lie. Because God is our provider. God is our provider, not man. Not what man can do for me. Not what man can do for me. Come up, child of God. Take your place. Because if you've been guarding your heart from disappointment, you're guarding your heart from God. And you are shutting off the place that connects with Him. Shutting off the place that connects with Him. Because He can only move through your heart. He can only move through your heart. So if you'll allow Him to get in, right? But the easiest way to do that is to come up. To come up. Like we did at the beginning of this service. Oh, what a happy place. What a happy place that is. Coming up into His presence. Because all of a sudden you start to see things the way He sees them. And if you allow yourself to see things the way He sees them, oh, come on, the limits come off. The limits start coming off. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Not only for your present situation, but once again, we're going into that realm of eternity. Amen. Where you can begin in your fellowship with God to have discussions with Him about your future. Because, you know, not all prayer is asking. Right? Not all prayer is just asking Him for something. And that's why I think some people miss out on a great adventure in God. Because they think, well, I don't need anything. I don't need anything, so I don't need to pray. Because I'm okay. I'm okay where I am. Well, if you don't live eternity minded, you're not going to have much fun till you get to the other side. You're just going to be biding your time down here and just dealing with things day to day and blah. Yeah. But if you'll start getting eternity minded, you'll have a whole lot more fun here on the earth because the Holy Spirit has been given for us here on the earth. Amen. And He takes hold together with us in the Spirit. And He knows the mind and the plan of the Father God. Glory to God. John's Gospel, the 16th chapter, of course, says that He'll show you things to come. If Jesus said, I only say what I hear my Father say, and I only do what I see my Father do, He had to get it while He was praying. He had to see it and hear it while He prayed. Right? In His fellowship, in other words. So His fellowship with God wasn't always asking Him for something. His fellowship was with, his disciples said to Him one day, Jesus, in Luke's Gospel, 11th chapter, He said, Jesus, can you teach us to pray? John's disciples said that He taught them how to pray. Can you teach us how to pray? Because you get results. How do you do it? Your prayer is different because stuff happens. So can you teach us how to pray? He said, yeah, do this. Say, our Father. Start with that. Our Father. 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 Is the only time you talk to your dad to ask him for stuff? No. Do you ever have just fellowship with your dad? I mean, everybody's background's different, you know. Fellowship. And then Paul calls our union with Christ like a marriage. Like a marriage. He says, for lack of anything better, you know, the two become one. The two become one. We're joined. We're one spirit with Him. When Kevin and I have conversations, I'm not just having a conversation to ask him for things. We have conversations about future. We have conversations and discussions about, how do you see this? How do you see this? What is that? What's this look like to you? How do you see this going? How do you see that going? How do you, this is the conversations we should be having with God. How do you see this going? Because my brain's not wired to see the future, but you're already in it. You're already in it. This entire book that we have and love so dearly, this book, this recorded, the words recorded, inspired by the Holy Spirit, people wrote because they heard the voice of God. It didn't start with a pen and paper. It started with a voice.
Yes, it did.
It started with a voice. But this entire book is a book of prophecy. And fulfillment. God says, I tell you what I'm going to do before I do it. And then I do it to prove to you that I'm able to confirm my word. Every word of God, that's why we say, none of my words will return void. None of my words will return without producing something, in other words. This entire book is a faithfulness of God book. He said something and he fulfilled it. He said something and he fulfilled it. He said something and he fulfilled it. And so when we hear the word preached across this pulpit, and we're, yeah, maybe, maybe not. Are you kidding me? Praise you when I'm doubting. Jesus said to his disciples, another one of my favorite events, Jesus said to his disciples, let's go to the other side. Let's go to the other side. They get in a boat. Storm comes. Oh, well, guess that word's gone. We're going to the other side. Not anymore, we're not. There's a storm. In fact, it's pretty bad. We're bailing water. And some of these guys are professional fishermen. It's not their first storm. They've been through storms before, but this one's the bad one. This is, it's the big one, Elizabeth, I'm coming. This is a bad one. And so they woke him up because he was sleeping. They woke him up, well, Master, we're dying. We don't want you to miss it. And he said, well, where's your faith? What did he mean? I already told you we're going to the other side. Well, I know that's what you said. But then this happened. The storm came. I know, but I said we're going to the other side. Yeah. The storm came. That changed what you said. Oh, did it? Why? Why did it? I already told you where we're going. I already told you where we're going. Why didn't you believe it? Because the storm. Do you not see what we're seeing? And he's going, do you not see what I see? Come up, child of God. Come up. With men, it's impossible, but not with God. He said where we're going. Do you ever wonder why, before COVID came, there weren't a ton of prophets telling you how bad things were about to get? How weird things were going to get? You know what I remember hearing? I remember hearing this is going to be the best year ever. It's going to be an amazing year. That's what I heard New Year's, all these messages New Year's before COVID came. Oh, it's just going to be great. It's going to be grand for the church. It's going to be so good. It's going to be so good. It's going to be so good. And then COVID hit. And some people bailed or tried to bail water. Well, I guess the prophets were wrong. No, they weren't wrong. They were telling you where God said we were to be. The people I know who took that word, right, sailed, right, through. Exactly. Didn't lose any money, didn't lose any ground. Come on. We got what God said. That's right. Amen. That's right. Well, why didn't he tell us about the storm? Why should he?
That's right. What's the matter?
Why should he? Well, because if he said, well, it would have been nice for us to know it was coming. Well, there are times that he does say things are coming. Amen. But for the most part, in a really public way, he's not going to. He may tell people he trusts. Right? Like he told Miss Leanne about friction coming. Right? In prayer. Privately. He didn't tell everybody. But he did tell a few. That he trusted. Right? Right? But to the masses, a big storm's coming. What does everybody do? Panic. Is this as big as it's going to get? Is it going to get bigger? How bad is it going to be? No. What he tells you the end from the beginning. Where are we going? Other side. That's where we're going. That's where we're going. Lord, teach us to pray. Well, then pray this. Our Father, yeah. As it is in, oh, what? Let it be on earth as it is in heaven? As it is in heaven. As if we don't know what it's like in heaven. I mean, if you didn't know anything else, it'd be all right to just pray on earth that your will would be done on earth the way it is in heaven. Well, then nobody'd be sick. If we believed it. Yeah. Come on, there's possibilities, realities. Yeah. Amen. But we got to come up. Yeah. We got to come up. He said he'd show us things to come in the presence of the Lord. Amen. There's places we need to see. Amen. And there's things when we get in the presence of the Lord, it's not just asking him for things. Let's ask him what he sees. What do you see about this? Amen. What do you see about this? And when you don't know what to pray for as you ought, when you don't know what to pray for, Romans the 8th chapter, it doesn't say when you don't know how to pray. It says when you don't know what to pray for as you ought. Why wouldn't you know what to pray for? Because you don't know the future. You only know what you got. So if you're only praying about what you know, then you're still not tapping into coming up and being in his presence and getting what he knows. Yeah. If you're only praying your list, or you're praying because of your reaction to news media, or your reaction to things that are going on in the church. Oh, we got to pray about this. We got to pray about that. You're only praying about what you know. But I love, Leanne brought out Romans the 8th chapter, the 26th verse out of the Carpenter's translation that said he bridges the gap between the present and the future. The Holy Spirit bridges the gap between the present and the future. You know, in that same passage of Scripture, it says that all things work together for good. Yes. Right? To them who love God or called according to his purpose. But you can't take that Scripture out of context. No. You can't just go, well, everything happens for a reason. Right. Well, it does happen for reasons, but just not the reasons people are claiming. They think it's God's reason. That he just appoints everything and everything. Again, they think like God does life to you. But he doesn't. He wants to do life with you. The way that we can claim that all things work together for good is if we pray in the Holy Ghost when we don't know what to pray for as we ought. The Holy Spirit then gives us unction, gives us utterance, because he knows the mind and the plan and the will of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. He knows what's in God's heart. And when we hook up with him in that place, he can show us things to come and reveal things that are away. Awaiting disclosure, things that are awaiting interpretation. When we're in the Spirit, we can begin to see them. Have discussions with him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So one of the ways we can come up is to quit just living life in the present. Stay eternity minded. Lay hold, child of God, on eternal life. Praise God. You belong in that place. You were made for that place in God. Hallelujah. I said, you were made for that place in God. Amen. Come up and take your place. We've been seated. We've been risen. Amen. Yeah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So there are things even today that have changed. Amen. Things that have changed even in the natural. There are some significant changes that have been made. Some choices have been made. What's next? What's next? Or are we just going to react? I think our place would be, let's have a discussion with God. What's our next place? What do you want us to do? What do you want us to claim? What do you want us to do? Because in the spirits where we have authority. We have authority in the spirit, and we are to lift up all of those who are on the earth with authority. Amen. Praise God. Not to put them down, but to lift them up before God. Let's lift them up. You know, all throughout scripture, we're going to pray here together, and I'm going to ask Jim and Leanne and Kevin to come too, and we'll all pray out loud, and let's do some corporate praying today. But all throughout scripture, whenever there was a transition, a major transition, there was always an opportunity to ask God for some things. There was always an opportunity to ask God for some things. Elijah and Elisha, for example. Here's a big transition. They knew it was coming. And Elijah said, what do you want? God's asking you, what do you want? Amen. Kevin brought out on Sunday morning when Solomon took over for David. And the Lord came to him in a dream and said, what do you want me to do? What would you like me to do? There's a transition here. Things are changing. What would you like me to do? Glory to God. When Elisha was about to leave the scene, he came to the king, or the king came to him. He knew Elisha was about to go, and Elisha said, get some arrows. Grab some arrows. Strike the ground. What do you want? As many times as you strike the ground, you're going to defeat your enemies. He gave him a choice, something to ask for. And the king only struck the ground 3 times. And the Bible says Elisha was wroth. Yeah. He was ticked. I just said this is the arrow of God's deliverance. I just gave you an opportunity to ask for your enemies, and you only hit the ground 3 times. What is the matter with you? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You could have asked so much more. Amen. Moses, Joshua, all these major transitions throughout scripture, there's a window of opportunity to do some asking. We're poised. We're poised. We've got some transition happening these next few months. Some transition, but let's do it in the spirit. Let's come up. Let's come up, not just reacting to this natural transition, but let's take our opportunity and our place, our risen and seated place in that strong tower where the righteous run, and we will always be safe. We'll always be safe. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Robin, can you come to the piano? And guys, let's grab some microphones. Praise the Lord. I'll keep this one on here. Yeah. No, we don't need chairs. We'll just, if you guys don't mind. You can walk and pray. You can stop. You can kneel. You can sit. If you'd rather take a chair, you can take a chair. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Or you can stand. I like to walk and pray often. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you're given to really getting over there, you might want to take a knee or sit down. Amen. So you don't fall down. Praise the Lord. But can we take our place today? I mean, at the beginning of this service, we ran to that strong tower. Glory to God. Let's go there again. Let's go there again in prayer. Hallelujah. And let's lift up our voices together out loud. Out loud. Praise God. Let's join together. Don't get real isolated right now. Amen. This is your normal Wednesday corporate prayer day, right? So let's get corporate. Hallelujah. And don't just isolate yourself and get all quiet. But let's, that's why I want these guys on the mics, because listen to what's happening and add your supply to it. There may be something that stirs you. You might grab a word, or you might have an image, because words create images. When we speak in other tongues, it is a language. So it's producing images on the inside that your spirit will pick up. Amen. So whatever you see, when you read a book, for example, when you read a book, they may describe a little bit here and there, but your imagination fills in a lot of gaps, right? Your imagination can fill in gaps that were not printed on the page. So when we're in the Spirit, when we're praying in the Spirit, let your imagination, which is God's, the ability to see unseen things, let him fill in some gaps. Go ahead and be open to seeing some things on the inside, and then pray that direction for a little bit. Ask him, what are you saying about this, Lord? How do you see this going? Because we've all got pieces. We've all got a supply. Hallelujah. And I believe there's a big supply in this room this morning. I said, I believe there's a big supply in this room this morning. I'm seeing faces that have been here in every service. Amen. And not only in every service this time, but every service we've been here. I'm seeing faces. Come on. Can we take our place? You have a place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're coming up today, Lord. We're taking our place today. Hallelujah. We thank you that you're granting us. You're granting us access. You've granted us access. Lord, we thank you, Lord, now for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened right now, that we would know some things, that you would disclose some things. Hallelujah. That you would open things for interpretation in this season right now that we are entering, this transitional season, even in our country. And in many states, many things were voted on yesterday. Many amendments. Many proposals. Many propositions and amendments and different things that people voted on. There's a great transition right now. Have your way, God. Have your way. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we offer up our voices and we offer up our hearts to you right now. Come on, lift your voice right now. So, Prepare the way of the Lord. Make even, make straight the path. To bring up that that's been cast down, and to bring down that which is up. Prepare. It's coming together.
one with him.
There is a way. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Yes. Mighty. His kingdom. Ramos Tonga Makasta. His kingdom.
Make a new man.
Yeah.
They should be able to make things.
Out of the many, one will come. Open. Opening.
That's right.
What can be shaken will be shaken.
Remove that one.
God's way. Peace. God's peace passes understanding.
We won't back off. Occupying until you come. You did that. Look what you did. With the eye of faith, we can see it. With the eye of faith, we can see it. Can you see it? Can you see it? I see it.
It shall come to pass.
It shall be as you said. It shall be as you said. Every word shall come to pass.
It shall come to pass.
That's right. Devil, you have nothing.
For many were against this man being in office, and some thought, nope, it's not right, and others thought, yes, it was. But because this door has been made open, the body of Christ is getting ready to grow in rapid size. For there have been strategic things that have been made open in the heavenlies for this day. And some are distraught, but get that out of the way. For there are divine connections and things that now are able to be, and it will be on display. for the kingdom of heaven in operation in the earth much more than it's been in days past. And there shall be rapid growth in the body. Rapid growth, harvest reaping growth, and it will not be denied, for it shall be seen with your natural eye. A rapid growth, because what has taken place in this hour at this time, the natural and the unseen operating together. Rapid growth, and it's right on time for the coming of the King.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
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 Such an important and spectacular time that we have entered into. The days preceding the greatest harvest of the world. And it is at hand. For the cries of those who are lost have come up to the heart of our King. And he shall bring to pass what the world would say is impossible. Where there has been division and where there has been strife, the Lord will bring together an unusual unity in this country and an unusual unity in the church. And men and women will lay aside their differences and will walk with purpose for the purpose of the day. And you shall see. You shall see. Oh no, one would say, is it possible? Every heart. Well, God uses remnants.
Yes.
And you shall see a remnant in the country and a remnant in the church that shall walk in God's unity and God's voice. And it shall be said that anything they put their hand to shall be accomplished. And we will watch the supernatural unfold before our eyes. And we shall be, as the church, encouraged to take our place and walk not here on the earth, but come up into the skies and see from God's perspective and yield to the Spirit of God above. We'll walk in this place of unity and we'll walk in this place of love. And you'll see it with your own eyes, and you'll know that it was spoken. And you'll watch God do what only God could do. And the world will say, it's impossible. The church will say, it's God. And it shall be. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. See what he sees. See what he sees. See what he sees. You'll only see it if you come up. You'll only see it if you come up. If you stay in the low places, if you stay in the low places, you'll only see what the world sees. And in the midst of darkness and in the midst of chaos, there is a great light. There is a great light. So we choose to see what you see. There are more that be with us than be with them. Hallelujah. And the host of heaven. The host of heaven stands at attention, waiting for orders, waiting for dispatch. Hallelujah. For the coming of the Lord is at hand. All of creation groans in expectation for the manifestation of the sons of God. That's us. Hallelujah. Waiting to see who God's children really are. That's us. I'm coming up. I'm coming up. I'm coming up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Come on, let's worship Him. Let's thank Him.
Would you stand to your
feet? With thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, and He's searching the innermost parts of your belly. Everyone, put your hands on your belly where the spirit of man operates from. To operate in these next days, weeks, and months, there's a need to step over into greater grace.
Yeah.
The word tells us that where sin abounds, much more grace abounds. I admonish you, church, to embrace your grace. You have received a new endowment. You have received a new grace. Now step on up. Step on in to the flow He wants you to know now. So declare this morning. Say this after me. I embrace my grace.
Embrace my grace.
I embrace the grace.
I embrace the grace
that He has provided for me.
That He has provided for
I'm
me.
I'm stepping up.
I'm stepping up.
I'm stepping in.
I'm stepping in.
To this hour.
To this hour.
Of greater power.
Of greater power.
I walk in new levels.
I walk in new levels.
Of provision.
Of provision.
Naturally.
Naturally.
Spiritually.
Spiritually.
And in every way that's
and in
needed.
In every way.
I embrace the grace.
I embrace the grace.
And I walk it out now in Him.
Walk it out now in
Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank Him for that.
Uh-huh.
Thank Him for that. Thank Him like you know you just received something. Thank Him like you know you just got a hold of something. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Bless your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
We embrace the grace.
Hallelujah.
New grace for this hour. Hallelujah.